It goes on through the scriptures continually talking about Satan, and that's what these series of sermons are, is to open up our minds to understand that an awful lot of the scriptures, awful lot of the Bible is talking about Satan here, not mankind. He's revealing Satan. He's telling you who he is. Now we're going to go through and talk a little bit about how Satan causes us to sin. It's not you. It's not these two little angels on your shoulders. It's not you making the decision. Well, he sinned because he just made the improper decision, and that's the way it is, and so it's on his head. No. That's why God says, do not judge one another, because you don't know what you're judging. And even for 2,000 years in this church, we've all sat around and judged each other. Why? Because we haven't seen this man of sin. We have not seen Satan exposed and revealed. But it is revealed now at the end, because it has to be. That's what our job is, to reveal Satan, not only to the bride of Christ, but to this world, and to expose him. Christ and the apostles talked about Satan a little bit. And when they did it a lot of times in parables, these Christ. We're not going to speak in parables. This is at the end. This is for revealing and exposing Satan for the foul ball that he really is. And that he is the author of sin. And that he has caused mankind through 6,000 years to sin and transgress in front of God. If you think Christ and the apostles had a lot of persecution, wait until Satan actually is getting to be exposed. But God will also give the power to do that, and he'll also give the protection. But there will be persecution. Some of us may die. We know the Laodiceans, the remnant of that church, is going to die physically. I certainly hope that all of us are Philadelphians. We can't choose that. It's only through God's mercy and love that he'd allow us so we wouldn't have to go through that. But let's look at this a little bit. Let's see who really causes us to sin. And it is Satan. And he does it. Let's turn over to Jeremiah 10. And we'll go through these fairly fast. Let's not make any mistake about this. This is God's inspired word. He knows what he's talking about. He's left a record here for us. Jeremiah 10, verses 23 and 24. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. See, you can't direct this, friends. It's not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his steps. Free moral agent, are you? I don't think so. Not unless we want to call God a liar again. Oh Lord, correct me, but with judgment. Not in thine anger, lest you bring me to nothing. You know, be merciful here. Because our steps, we cannot direct our steps. You think you can? You can't. Let's turn over to James 4. We'll give you a little Bible burn here, as it's called. Like I say, generally, we don't use so many scriptures, but we're setting a scene here for the rest of our lives to understand this Bible and the scriptures and these scriptures, and to read it through God's eyes, not Satan's eyes, the way we've been reading through, because he hasn't been revealed before. Oh, we knew he was there. We just didn't know him. We didn't know how much he was there. In James 4, verse 5, do you think that the scripture says in vain? Do you think it lies? Do you think God went through this just lying in vain? The spirit that dwells in us lusts to envy. Just to no good. We know, brethren, that that is a fruit of the satanic spirit. I'll just read these to you very quickly. You can jot this down. In Genesis 6, verse 5, God's talking about different things. He says his heart is evil continuously. That's your heart. It's the heart of man. Because Satan was allowed to put that computer in you, that chip, that program, right at the Garden of Eden. So much so that the first children that were born on earth, one killed the other. Satan lost no time, did he? He showed who was in control right away. Do you actually think that a child of God would kill or hurt or strike another child of God for any reason? Never. There's something that's causing him to do that. In Genesis 8, verses 20 to 22, it talks about being evil from his youth. It was in there right away, brethren. It just, you can't get away from it. It's there. And this is how he causes us to sin. Let's turn over to Isaiah 19. Now in each one of these scriptures that I give you, you know, when you have time, go back and read those whole chapters, because then you'll find, you know, the full context of this. And generally it goes on for chapter after chapter. Once you have your mind seeing what God is talking about here, and he's talking about Satan and those demons and what they're doing and the grief that God is going to bring upon them, it starts to open up the Bible. That's the whole reason for these sermons, to get you to understand this. Isaiah 19, verse 14. And the Lord hath mingled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof, and they have caused Egypt to err in every work, as a drunken man staggering in his vomit. Now, you can't get much more expressive than that. God has allowed this perverse spirit to be in them. He's allowed it for a purpose. You know, don't ask why did God do it? Forget why God did it and see what he did first. Let's see what God actually allowed. Let's see his plan. And at the end, we may not have to ask why. Keep one thing in mind. Anything and everything that God thinks or does is perfect. So if it's perfect, let's not worry about why he did something. Let's dig into this and see how he did it, and understand the history behind it. While we're in Isaiah, let's go over to Isaiah 3. Isaiah 3, verse 12. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of thy paths. This is a satanic spirit. And you'll always find that satanic spirit always manifesting itself in the government officials, in the leaders. It comes out even more, doesn't it? Even our own government in Washington. What a joke. All I hear is constantly people laughing at the president because of all the women that he runs around with, or even supposes to. You know, you're supposed to avoid the appearance of evil. But everyone just kind of laughs. They know what's going on. They knew what was going on with Kennedy. Isn't that a shame? Believe me, none of us would get away with that, would we? Our lives would be in ruin. And these people just scoff at it. It's just a way of life for them. Okay, over in Isaiah 9, verse 16, says it again. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. And these leaders he's talking about is Satan. And these demons, they're the ones doing it. You see it manifested sometimes in physical leaders, but they're the ones doing it. Isaiah 29, verse 20 and 21. For the terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorner is consumed. Saying, all that watch for iniquity are cut off, that make a man an offender of a word, and lay a snare for him that reprove men at the gate. They're the ones who do this, and they turn aside the just for a thing of naught. They make men do this. These are just little examples. But as we see, as we go along, Isaiah 30, verse 28, and his breath as an overflowing steam shall reach to the midst of the neck and sift the nations with all this stuff, with the vanity, it's the end. And there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err. See, there's something there. It's making the people do this. Okay? You can write this down in Hosea 4, verse 12. It talks about the spirit of whoredoms that caused to err. Another place in Hosea 5, verses 4 and 5. It's a spirit of whoredoms that caused that to err and to have pride. Now we know who has pride. He causes us to sin. Let's turn over to Psalms 14. Psalms is a fantastic book. It's an amazing book. These are the prayers of the Spirit of God. We'll see that a little bit later, but once you get to see this satanic spirit and start to recognize how God speaks about him. When you sit and go through Psalms and read Psalms, it just will blow your mind. You can't, you almost can't bear up under it. It's just overwhelming what he is talking about in here. But in Psalms, the whole chapter here, it's only 7 verses. But in verse 4, it says, "Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord?" They just chew us up. They eat us up. And they eat the people of the world up. They rip the flesh off their bones. In Jeremiah 23, this ought to be enough example just to show you that he is causing the people. This isn't your decision. It's not the decision of your neighbor down the street to do something bad to you. That's provoked by that spirit. Jeremiah 23, verses 26 and 27. "How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? They are prophets of deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal." You know, these are all areas that we went to. Continue to read in these different chapters. Know and understand that Satan is the one who causes mankind to sin. If you were the one that was doing the sinning, then God would have to judge you very harshly, and he'd have to throw you in the lake of fire, wouldn't he? But we're going to see later in this series that mankind is not going in the lake of fire, but Satan is. So that gives you an idea in some places, and you have to continue to study on your own on this. You can see this could be a 25-part sermon. We could just have sermons about Satan all year long. That's how big this subject is. I'm just trying to open it up a little bit so that we understand. Now let's go in for a while and talk about Satan's different names and titles. And this is going to give you the insight in reading your Bible, especially the Old Testament, and give you some insight about what he is talking about here. He hides what he talks about, remember, so that only people who have it revealed to them through his Spirit are able to understand him. Now we know, and you can just jot these down, in 2 Corinthians 4:4, we know that Satan is the god of this world. That's a title for him. We know in John 12:31, also in John 14:30, and John 16:11. These are all good references to have down. It talks about him being the prince of this world. So he's the god of this world. He's the prince of this world. In Ephesians 2:2, it speaks about him being the prince of the power of the air. 2 Corinthians 11:14. It tells us that he's an angel of light. Let's turn over to 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. And I'm going to go through these fairly quickly. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, we know who that is, Satan, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walks about seeking to whom he may devour. He's out there all the time. He's a roaring lion. Here's another name. Let's go to Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 53. When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me, is Christ speaking, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. There's another name for this guy. He's the power of darkness. Hebrews 2. This is a very important scripture that all of us as first fruits have to understand. Hebrews 2 in verses 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He, Christ, also himself likewise took part in the same. For through death he might destroy him that has the power of death, that is the devil. There's another one, the power of death. And also in other places, just death. It's his name. That's what Satan is. That's what he represents, death. And since he is the only one that's going to eternally die and be dead forever, it's a fitting name, isn't it? God wants us to know what this thing is. Had the power of death, that is the devil. And let's remember verse 15. This is talking about the world. This is talking about all of our brethren in the world. And delivered them, us and also the world, who through fear of death, fear of Satan, fear of that death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That's what you lived in. That's what the people of the world live in, this bondage of death. They live in this bondage. Mr. Armstrong lived in bondage. He didn't know this. When he came to his death, he was worried that he'd even be in the kingdom of God. That's what this bondage of death is, not truly knowing. And it wasn't given to Mr. Armstrong, no. I mean, I feel sorry that after all the good years of service in the church, and he served God till the day he died, and he was a first fruit, and he is going to be there with us. But he didn't have the peace at the end of really knowing the Father and really knowing that sacrifice, that he could die with peace. We'll all struggle at the end, but at least mentally, we will at least know that we have that total assurance. Because God has brought us out of that bondage. Let's go to John 8. John 8, actually 44 through 47. He comes in here and talks about Satan, who he is, these names are. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He's talking to these people here. He was a murderer from the beginning So he's a murderer. There's another name he puts on him. And abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. For he is the liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? Okay. I can't really do that. And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Now this is very important. It says, he that is of God hears God's word. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. We don't have to worry that some first fruits may get away from us. If they're of God, they will hear God's word. It's the only ones who can. If you're not, you won't understand it. You can jot some of these scriptures down. We've already been through Isaiah 14. In there, he talks about that king of Babylon. Here's another name and title of Satan. When you read Babylon in the Bible, stop and say, this is probably talking about Satan. Even though you think it's a historical thing, read between the lines. Look at it. As generally, he's talking about Satan. The king of Babylon, he's an oppressor. He's a staff of the wicked. His scepter. He's a scepter of rulers. He's Lucifer, the son of the morning. These are his different names. We've read these earlier in earlier sermons. In Ezekiel 28, in that whole chapter, talks about him being the prince of Tyre, the king of Tyre, the anointed cherub. Ezekiel 29, he calls him the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. You know, Pharaoh is one of the heads of the beast. First one. And he also calls him the great dragon. He calls him another name here. Doesn't call him a name, I guess, but one of his names is in Jeremiah 51, verse 44. He calls him Bel. B-E-L. His name is Bel in Babylon. In verse 37, he talks about it being the dwelling place of dragons. That's where this Babylon is. I want to get through all of my notes in this sermon. So I'm looking at this. In Haggai, let's go over there, Haggai 2. All right, it's always a chore to find Haggai in here, isn't it? Haggai, after Zephaniah. Haggai 2, verses 22 and 23. And interesting here. Remember Zerubbabel? Remember what we have been taught about Zerubbabel, that pictured Jesus Christ? It's between Haggai, between Zephaniah and Zechariah, near the end of the Old Testament. And he starts talking here about Zerubbabel, which is interesting. But in verse 22, and he says, and I will overthrow the thrones of kingdoms. He's talking about coming and overthrowing Satan's thrones and what he's going to do. And I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen. That's Satan. It's all of his world. And I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them. Remember the big battle? And what is it, the fifth or sixth trump? When these 200 million strong come and fight? Those are all the demons. And the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, I will take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant. Okay, the son of, however you pronounce that, says the Lord, and will make you as a signet. For I have chosen you, saith the Lord of hosts. You wonder who Zerubbabel is? Jesus Christ. This is his servant he's going to do that with. And although when you read through the Bible, especially the Old Testament, there may be a lot of history intermixed, but that history is being told to you to cover what he's really saying about Satan. And that's why that history was being used and being formed, so he could explain in a historical way. But those who have an ear, let him hear. If you have an eye, let it see. See what he's doing here. You can jot this down in Job 41. I think throughout the whole chapter there, he's talking about Leviathan. Leviathan. It's another name that he uses. Verses 33 and 34, he made this thing without fear. Made without fear. Satan just stands right up to God, doesn't he? He also says here that he's the king of the children of pride. We know that's just fruit. Okay, he talks in Psalm 74, and you really should go back and read these things with this in mind. In fact, read Psalm 74 all the way through 77. It shows world history, but also shows that it's the Spirit of God in prayer. Sometimes it's Christ's prayers. Sometimes it's David's prayers. And it shows his plan all the way through here. But know that these aren't prayers of King David talking about the Philistines. It has nothing to do with it. In fact, I'm going to turn back there. In Psalm 74... It's just amazing when you really see the key. It's like unlocking the key to the Bible when you realize that all this is written about Satan. It's written about what Satan is doing to the people, and also shows what God is going to do to Satan and how God is going to redeem this earth. And he's going to come and capture Satan, and he's going to destroy him. And it's all here. We read over it for all those years. But it's here. In verse 4, it talks about thine enemies roar in the midst of thy congregations. They set up their insignias for the signs. See, they're doing it. Verse 10, O God, how long shall the adversary approach or reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever? This is a prayer. This isn't about the Philistines someplace. This is a prayer of Christ, what he went through when he was here. Remember, these all prayers come from the Spirit, not men. Verses 13 through 14. He divides the sea by his strength. He breaks the heads of the dragons in the water. Thou breaketh the heads of Leviathan in pieces. It's showing what Christ, or what God is going to do and Christ is going to do. He pleads their cause in verse 22. He says, arise, O God, plead thine own cause. Remember how the foolish man reproached you daily. You see, this isn't people fighting Israel coming around the kingdom, around the wall, trying to get in. We're talking here about universal thing. We're talking about Satan. We're talking about Christ or David with that spirit, the same way we will pray with that spirit, saying, Father, how long are you going to allow this to go on? For us, of course, it's a lifetime. You can just smash him. You can just wreck him. God says, I have my time. Remember, I read you that scripture. It says, just for a moment. It's just for a moment in time this is happening. So when you read through Psalms, read through and understand these different names. You can jot this down. In Revelation 12 and verse 3, it talks about him being a red dragon with seven heads. In Revelation 20, verse 2, talks about him being a dragon, a serpent, Satan, the devil. He just lays it out there. Revelation 13, 1 and 2, talks about him being the beast. He's this beast. We're doing a study right now about these beasts of the field. You realize when it's talking about these beasts of the field, it's talking about these satanic beasts running around, chewing up God's people, the people of man. Revelation 6, verse 8 talks about this is that fourth seal that he's going to use to kill. He's going to kill with the beasts of the field. Another name, another reference. In Genesis 3, verse 1, talks about the serpent being more subtle than any beast of the field. There's a huge subject of this beast of the field. Just look up that and then start reading every place, and it'll show you more and more and more about Satan in here. See, Ezekiel 34, verse 5, talks about the flock became the meat of the beast of the field. Verse 28 talks about the beast of the field won't devour anymore at some point. Talks about in 2 Peter 2:12. Talks about these are these natural brute beasts, and they shall utterly be destroyed or perish. And it goes on and on. We've read the other scriptures about the shepherds, these beasts of the field, being the shepherds and the pastors. Talks about, in other places, about being high ones, terrible ones, ungodly, the bloody and deceitful man. Another reference. Talks about, when it talks about this generation, talks about that generation of Satan. I'm leaving some things out. We'll get to them a little bit next time. It talks through here in Ezekiel 31. It talks about the trees. These are names of Satan. Do a study on these. Trees, cedar in Eden. Talks about the cedars in Lebanon. Talks about these high exalted above all the trees. Talks about Satan being a tree and in a forest. He lifts himself up. This is all in Ezekiel 31. He even calls him in this tree. This is Pharaoh. So he tells you exactly who this is. It goes on. Let's turn over to Zechariah 11 very quickly. And then we'll end this. I'm going to read a couple of verses. Maybe you can start to understand by these different names that this is Satan. So when I read this, it'll start to open up your mind a little bit. So when you read other scriptures like this, you'll see this. It says, open thy doors, O Lebanon, that the fire may devour thy cedars. Ah, we're talking about Satan being burned up here. Howl, fir tree, for the cedar is fallen. He's talking about the destruction here. Because the mighty are spoiled. Howl, all you oaks. All you oaks of Bashan. For the forest of the vintage has come down. There is a voice of the howling of the shepherds, for their glory is spoiled. A voice of roaring of young lions, for the pride of Jordan is spoiled. Thus saith the Lord my God, feed the flock of the slaughter. This flock of the slaughter are the people of the earth, whose possessors slay them and hold themselves not guilty, Satan. And they that sell them say, blessed be the Lord, for I am rich. Oh, they have all this rich, all this stuff. And their own shepherds pity them not. For I will no more pity the inhabitants of the land. The inhabitants of the land also is Satan. Sometimes the people, saith the Lord. But lo, I will deliver the men, every one unto his neighbor's hand, and into the hand of his king, and they shall smite the land, and out of their hand I will not deliver them. Here's six scriptures here in Zechariah that is showing you, when you know the different names of Satan, being a tree, being a forest, being the merchants, being these destroyers, that when you start to read, you can start to understand what God is talking about. Now next time, we're going to try to wrap this up with part four. We're going to be going into what happens to Satan. The bottomless pit, Satan's short season, the real day of the Lord, seven last vials, Armageddon, Gog and Magog, how God puts them all in the dust of the earth. And then we'll see what the second death is all about in that last judgment. So I hope this gives you some idea. At least we're giving you a starting point when you do your studies, that you can look up these different words. Go back and go through this and start doing some studies on it. And they'll start to open up for you. Read in the Psalms. He's always talking about Satan in there, and about what he's going to do to Satan. So until next Sabbath, have a good week, and we'll finish this up next week.